Lesson is titled today, Who, Me? You know, a lot of times we're given responsibilities, asked to do something, whether it be at the house or here at the building or at work, and it's kind of like, you want me to do this? We use the example a lot of times, Jonah, and rightly so. Jonah did everything he could to get out of doing what God had wanted him to do. And Brother Ken read the passage today of Jonah, thought he was going to outsmart God. God wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach the word to them. And so he thought, I'll just go the other direction. Went down into the ship, thought he was, you know, down into it. They can't see me here. Gets swallowed by the big fish, thought God couldn't see him there. Down in the depths of the ocean, God still knew where he was. And it was through when God got done with him, he wound up doing God's word. And it would have just been so much easier to do it the first time around. But he had to think that he was better, and he put more effort into not serving God than he did serving God. In Jonah 1, starting in verse 1, it says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God is aware of the wickedness there, and he is loving enough that he wants them to be saved. He's going to send Jonah to do that. But, that little word, but. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Like God's not going to be in Tarshish. He created Tarshish. Yeah, you're. What's that saying? You can run, but you can't hide. You can't get away from God and your responsibilities. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, which is on the complete other end of the Mediterranean. So he paid the fare. There's a good sermon right there. He paid the fare and went down into it, like almost like he's trying to hide, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know what happens? He's swallowed by the fish, the great fish, for 3 days, has spit up on the land. That's a whole lesson in and of itself. But God got his attention. And he wound up going and doing what God originally had wanted him to. Jonah had that attitude, who, me? You want me to go to them? They're evil people. And he did everything he could to get out of serving God and his responsibilities. In Jonah 3, verse 5, it says, So the people of Nineveh believed God after the preaching that Jonah did. Proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And in Jonah 3:10 it says, Then God saw their works. Just like he saw Jonah. He saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. That's repentance. That is repentance. They did works befitting of repentance, and God saw that they had turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And they lived happily ever after. The story ends up good. That's just the example. My question is, what if others had acted like Jonah did, trying to get out of serving God, trying to get out of doing their responsibility. What if others would have acted the fool like Jonah did? Moses. What would have happened if Moses? God wanted Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. They were under bondage, and God chose Moses. Not, I'm a shepherd, God. I lead sheep, not people. Sometimes I think it might be easier. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. But what if Moses would have had that attitude and taken the approach that Jonah did? He did. In Exodus 3, verse 11, it says, but Moses said to God, after God said, Moses, I'm picking you to lead my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Egypt out of, or the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? He was worried about personal credibility. Who? They're not going to listen to me. I'm a shepherd. Who's going to listen to me? In Exodus 4:1, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. He was worried about what the people will say. He feared the people. You ever feel like that sometimes? You know, what will other people think? You know, sometimes we pull the Moses and, oh, they won't believe me. Who am I to give a Sunday evening lesson? Who am I to offer a prayer in front of the congregation? Things like that. Verse 4:10, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm not a good speaker, God. You want me to lead people. I'm going to need to teach them. I'm going to need to speak. I'm not the guy. And of course, God provided Aaron for him, his brother. He's a good speaker. Every excuse that Moses had, God shot down and didn't buy it. It don't float here. I'm not listening to you. And then finally, Moses just got to the point, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Pick anybody else. The guy down the street, pick him, but just not me. I can't do it. And we know that eventually Moses did it. But a lot of times, people have that attitude. You want me? Me? To do what? I can't do that. What an unlikely suspect, a shepherd, to lead God's people. What about the apostles? When Jesus passed the torch to them, one of the last things Jesus told them is recorded in Matthew 28 before he ascended back into heaven. He's telling the apostles, he's not going to be here. He's passing it off to them. For 3 years, they had been trained by him. And Jesus told them, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Even though Jesus was leaving their presence, he's going to be with them. And I'm sure, a few of them are probably saying, we've got to teach them all the things you've commanded. You mean I was supposed to be paying attention to the things you were teaching us? I've got to recall all of that? You want me? Now, of course, Peter probably. So now, Jesus, you do know those fish ain't going to catch themselves. You know, me and Andrew and James and John, we've got a fishing business. Matthew's, you know, I got to go to work. I got to collect taxes. That didn't fly. Now, we don't know. Maybe they continued working. But they did this in addition. They did this in addition. Who, me? You mean, Jesus, you're not hanging around? We thought we could just help you. We thought it was, that's what you're here for. But he left it in their hands. Ananias. What a job he had. He was told to go and help this guy, Saul of Tarsus. The same Saul of Tarsus that's putting people in jail, that's committing people to prison, that Saul? In Acts 9, starting in verse 10, it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he says, here I am, Lord. He's willing. Here I am. What do you need? So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. I could just see Ananias writing all this down, making sure he's got it right. Go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Who? For behold, he is praying, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. God, are you aware of what this guy has been doing? You want to be nice to him? Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. I might wind up in prison myself, God. And you want me to go help this guy that has done so much harm to my brothers and sisters? Are you sure? But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And we know, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, he did it. And Paul would go and do that very thing, bearing his name. Think of Paul himself. The Apostle Paul was told to do things. The Macedonian call in Acts 16. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Sorry, I'm busy on a missionary trip. I got a schedule mapped out. You know, maybe I'll send Timothy. How will Silas do? Titus. I'll send them. But I got things to do. I've got a missionary journey. I've got a schedule to keep. People to see, places to do, or places to go and things to do. Sorry, Mr. Macedonian man. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. in the blink of an eye, plans change. Things that you don't expect to come up. And this happened to Paul. And Paul was obedient to that vision. And last but not least, in this Macedonian call, we see, we see his detour that would take him to places like Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. Three of his letters would come writing back to two of those congregations and two of those regions. Thanks to him obeying that vision. Instead of saying, who, me? Send somebody, I can't make it. I'm busy. Something came up. Sorry, had a late night. Can't go. Then there's Jesus. Imagine if Jesus would have had the attitude that Moses or Jonah would have had. God, you want me to leave this? To leave heaven at your right hand? To leave and to go through what? There's got to be another way here, God. You know, can't you come up with something? Come on, Father. Have you thought this out? Of what I've got to go through, the ridicule, the physical pain. John, we always hear about John 3:16, that God so loved the world, but the next verse, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus went. Didn't hesitate. Didn't pull a Jonah. He went to save the world. Philippians 2, the letter that Paul wrote to people that he wasn't planning on going to originally, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. We are called. We are called. Paul would write to the Romans, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. You, me, we are called. We have a chance to pull a Jonah and run from doing God's will or fulfilling God's will. It's going to get done with or without us. Got a question. What's the difference between a valid reason and a lame excuse? A reason is what we give. An excuse is what somebody else gives. If we're coming up with, it makes full sense. It's valid. Don't argue with me over my reason. It's a reason. It's not an excuse. An excuse is something that somebody else gives. Maybe the same one. Maybe the same one you're using. But because they're using it, I don't buy it. Not going to say a word. We're going to close out with Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me.
Amen.
Let's have the attitude of this, not the attitude of Jonah. If we can be of service to you through baptism, through prayers. If you need prayers, if you're going through something right now that we could pray with you about, if you need further study outside of right now, we would be more than happy to help you. If like I said, if you've been studying and realized that you need to be baptized, the sacrifice that Jesus left heaven for us to be saved. Whatever your need, if we can assist you, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.